Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us are wondering why.
Bishagid. USC, Idaho,
vanquished. They vanquished Idaho.
Kind of puts it in perspective, though, doesn't it?
I don't know if this puts anything in perspective.
Well, you can bottle up Matt Linehan the way they did. That gives it some perspective.
He's a big, chunky guy.
How dare you?
And when Idaho takes the lead, I'm thinking, you're kidding me, right? We might lose to Idaho. But then they came up with that defensive scheme. Do not cover the tight end. Let him go. Leave him be.
Sounds like a volume adjustment was made.
You wanted Doug to shut up.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan and KFNS. My name's Tim McKernan. Excited to be the best. Thanks. Alongside Jimmy the Kennedy.
Well, you earned it.
Thank you. Jimmy the Kennedy and Douglas Elvin Vaughn. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and so many people love it, and they should. They should. They really should.
I don't know. Who doesn't love it? Who doesn't love it?
Who doesn't love this show?
Older people.
People that don't listen.
Doug, you were wondering if you get a Bloody Mary. If you do, the taste of Major Peters is bigger, bolder, thicker, and performs better than its wussy, watered-down competitors. That's because it's made from over 90% real tomato juice, not limp, lame vegetable juice. Made right here in the STL, award-winning Major Peters holds up better to vodka and ice. Whether you like it original style, hot and spicy, with a little bit of everything, all of the works, maximize flavor in a major way with Major Peters Bloody Mary Mix. Look for it at Deerberg's, Schnucks, Shop and Save, Randall's, Friar Tuck, Lucas Liquor, and Total Wine. Major Peters Bloody Mary Mix, St. Louis, Missouri. Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are really good. What are you going to do this year? Pretty big things, huh? Doug, the basketball team, though, looks like it could be good. And joining us right now to get his perspective on what took place yesterday in Kansas City, the Colonel, Gabriel P.D. Armand of PowerMizzou.com. Good morning, Colonel.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
What's the good word, yo?
Nothing. You had me worried with that intro. We were going to talk about football, and I was unprepared for that.
I like the uniforms a lot better.
There would be much reason for that.
I like the uniforms a lot better. I like that Block M helmet. That's a good start.
Yeah, good. The Block M helmets were key. They scored 66 of the 68 points on Saturday.
Yeah, nice. I thought so, too.
Doug, did you have a problem with the fact that the Block M was white, even though the uniforms were black and gold?
Yeah, I did, but I wasn't going to complain too much. It's a step to get back to reasonable uniforms. That's what we care about. We can't care too much about the product on the field right now, but the uniform issue continues to dominate Mizzou talk.
Colonel, are you going to stores?
No. Brian Austin actually volunteered to go to that one before the season, therefore becoming my favorite employee.
You don't have to.
I mean, there really aren't many other employees that could knock him off that perch, but had anyone else volunteered to go to that game, they would have become my favorite.
Doug, how do you get to stores? You fly into New York and drive?
I've never been. I don't know. I would assume so.
You fly into Hartford. Sure. I think they might be playing in Hartford, actually.
Yeah, but is one person up to handle all the storylines coming out of this game?
I think he'll do all right. If not, you know, I don't know that anybody's going to really mind.
Colonel, you were in Kansas City yesterday for the scrimmage. What did you think of what you saw? And that can be before, after, during, crowd, whatever. What did you think?
Yeah. Well, it started with, as I posted on Twitter, it was the largest gathering of people that didn't care about something I've ever seen. You know, I know everybody has kind of written this today, but let's get over the idea that this wouldn't benefit both schools and both fan bases to play every year. Now, I would have absolutely no problem if Bill Self just came out and said, you know what? I don't like Missouri. I'm petty. I'm mad they did what we wanted to do. I'm mad they left. I'm not going to play them ever again. Cool. quit making up all the fake reasons that you're not playing them. Just say, they made me mad 5 years ago, and I hold a grudge, and I don't want to play them, and we're all good. But that was a really fun game. You would not have known it was an exhibition once the ball went in the air. I mean, it was every bit of what the bragging rights will be in December for a game that didn't count. And, you know, I thought it worked out probably really well for both coaches. Bill Self can tell his team, look, you guys are really good. You've got a chance to do a lot of really good things, but you also got pushed to the limit by this young team. And Konzo Martin can come back and say, look, you guys have a chance to be really good. You hung with one of the best teams in the country for about 33 minutes, but you're not there yet, and there are a lot of things that we can get a lot better at.
Do you think it's Self that's calling the shots, that he doesn't want this thing Yeah, for sure?
No question. I mean, look, if you are the basketball coach at the University of Kansas, especially one who has won as much as Bill Self does, you don't have a boss. If Bill Self wanted to play this game would be played. He doesn't. It's not played.
And everybody from both states would love to see it played except him, one guy. And that's all that matters,
well,
I guess.
Well, no, I mean, there are Kansas fans who don't want it played because, and this is a, phrased it this morning, it is a vomit-inducing attitude. We don't want to do Missouri a favor by playing them. Like, we are the greatest program and the greatest fan base in this sport, and we should not stoop to play someone who is not as good as us. So I assume then Kansas will simply schedule Kentucky, UCLA, North Carolina, Duke, and Indiana like six times each and never play anyone else because they only play games that benefit them. I'm sure they get huge benefits from Fort Hays State, Emporia State, Washburn, Texas A&M, Iowa State, TCU. These games all benefit Kansas. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but I'm sure somehow they do.
But wouldn't facing Kansas once a year benefit everybody?
Of course it would. Yeah. And again, everybody knows. Like, I actually think Self might have set himself up in kind of a tough situation because everything that Kansas has said throughout this whole deal, you know, kind of went out the window when this game sold out in 30 minutes on both sides and was as packed and passionate as it was. I mean, you would not have known that was not 2012 in Lawrence, Kansas for Columbia, Missouri yesterday. If you just showed up and didn't know what was surrounding the game, you would have thought that was a very important regular season basketball game. So every argument for not playing went out the window yesterday. And also, by the way, they raised $1.75 million for charity. So at the very least, you know, I think the conversation should be, hey, if you don't want to play when it counts, fine. But how about we do that every year and just find a charity? I mean, maybe next year you donate $2 million to cancer research or to, you know, an abused children's shelter or something like that. I mean, find a good cause and play every year because there's no reason not to do it.
Yeah, that would make sense. I can't imagine a more challenging way to start a college career for all those Mizzou freshmen than to play in a packed building against the arch rivals that you haven't played for a while, the number three ranked team in the nation. They held up awfully well in light of all that.
Yeah, and I thought that really was the biggest difference in the game was when that game got really competitive, and you know, Missouri had a 6-point lead with about 15 minutes to go. And at that point, Kansas, you could tell, had guys who had not only been in games like that, but had won games like that. You know, Devontae Graham, some of these other guys have been in games like that and done well. Missouri has not one player on the roster who has both been in a game like that and won a game like that. You know, most of their guys are playing their first college games. The ones who aren't, Kevin Puryear, Jordan Barnett, Terrence Phillips, they've never won a game like that. You know, Cassius Robertson transferred from Canisius. They didn't play games like that. So I thought Kansas's experience took over. Missouri played kind of AAU style for about 7 minutes. I mean, they panicked a little bit offensively. They got lost a little bit defensively, and that was the difference in the game. But I thought it was pretty impressive. Once they got down 17, they did make another charge, and actually, had they been able to make a couple free throws, I think would have put themselves in position maybe to have a chance to come all the way back. So that was impressive. They hung in for 32, 33 minutes. They're better than I thought they were going to be at this point in time. And I think any Missouri fan should come away from that thinking, this might be really, really fun to watch in about 3 months.
Colonel, a few people texting in, how is this different than Missouri not playing St. Louis University? Do you see similarities, or would you say, well, it's totally different because they aren't in the same conference or weren't in the same conference? And
well, it's totally different because, like, yes, Missouri and Kansas played the same level of basketball, and I'm sorry if that offends SLU fans. It's a mid-major program versus a high-major program. It just is. It's now, I understand that, you know, SLU fans would say, hey, Missouri should play us because, yeah, it's the same attitude, and maybe it is to some level. I would understand that argument, but I think there is a difference. I mean, Missouri and SLU don't have a 115-year history of playing twice every year, and, you know, all these great games and the proven – and frankly, they're just on – Missouri is capable of beating Kansas, I think, more often than SLU is capable of beating Missouri, even though, obviously, the last few years would say that anyone was capable of beating Missouri.
I'd like to see Mizzou play all the state schools, non-conference. Missouri State, SEMO, St. Louis U. I think the fans would like that rather than some of the Shishawali teams they bring in for the non-conference schedule.
Yeah, and I can see the argument. I also see it from Missouri side when it comes to SLU, and that I don't know if there is any upside to that game. I mean, would a Missouri SLU game sell out? It might. I'm not nearly as convinced it would as a Missouri Kansas game. But and I understand why, now that I'm kind of making this argument, why SLU fans would say it's the same thing. But, you know, if Missouri loses that game, they hear about it for years and years and years. If they win that game, they were just supposed to. And I understand why that would sound like the same argument. I don't think that's the case. I don't think, you know, there would be some great, huge national story or even local story in Kansas City. Oh, my God, Kansas lost to Missouri, like it's the biggest story of the season.
What did you think of the way Michael Porter Jr. played?
I did not think he played very well at all.
Yeah. A little selfish at times.
I thought that was a kid playing in his first college game, figuring out, oh, this is a little bit different. I'm not just going to show up and get 30 and 15, you know, by being the most athletic player on the floor. Now, I think by the end of the year, he's got a chance to be the best player in that game. And have the best season, but he did not play well yesterday. He took some really bad shots. He was pretty loose with the ball, all that. But again, I think that's really good for Missouri. I think that gives Konzo Martin a chance to say, hey, you know, it's tougher. You got to bring it every play on this level. And, oh, by the way, he had 21-8. I mean, I think I wrote yesterday, I think he might have some Derek Chivas nights where, like, he only makes four shots. And somehow you look down at the end of the game and he scored 23 points.
I thought he might play down low a little bit more than he did, but that apparently is not the way they're going to use him. He's more like a Kevin Durant type of player.
He's a wing. He's a wing. He's a guy that can play the two through the four. I mean, there will probably be some games where he posts guys up from time to time, but I think that's going to be more. Jeremiah Tillman was, I think, better than most fans expected him to be. Jonte Porter was much better than I expected him to be. Those, I think, are Missouri's two main big men. And they're going to put a really athletic team on the floor with Barnett and Perrier and Porter and all these guys. So, you know, Konzo's got a lot of options.
Gabe DeArmond joining us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You can read more on PowerMizzou.com. Good to hear from the Colonel following yesterday's Missouri-Kansas scrimmage in Kansas City. Thank you, Colonel.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Peace. Thank you, Colonel.
Doug, the last time Missouri and Missouri State played, Missouri State beat Mizzou. Thanks.
I don't care.
It's from the 636.
I want to see them play. I absolutely hate the way a lot of college basketball and football programs make their schedules. There's no reason to ever play Idaho. There's no reason to ever play Connecticut. Who's that good for?
The Linehans.
Just so you get another win, and maybe we'll get to six, and maybe we'll play in a bowl game that no one cares about either.
Whoa, whoa,
Schedule
whoa.
Interesting games.
Doug, KU football looked good with 21 total yards of offense. Thanks.
Yeah, Mizzou should play Kansas in football. They should start every football season with Mizzou and Kansas at Arrowhead Stadium. And then Mizzou should play Illinois in one of its every year they should.
What about
and
those then fill Huskies in Missouri, from then, Connecticut, though?
And fill in Missouri State. Play Missouri State every year.
Jimmy Calhoun wants to see you play at football.
Who cares about that? And who cares about 10, 12, 14 games that Mizzou basketball plays? We don't care about these games. It would be so much more interesting if they would take reasonable opponents.
When you say we, it's like you're speaking for every fan. There's a lot of folks who have matriculated to Missouri from Connecticut.
Probably in a sense, 5 or 6.
This is a homecoming for them.
It isn't. Who cares? Who cares? I would much rather see them play an SEC opponent, a really good SEC opponent, even if they lose, then roll over the Idahos and the Connecticuts of the world. I don't care about these games.
So you were unhappy with homecoming?
Unhappy with the opponent, yes. Meaningless.
Happy with the uniforms, not happy they didn't match the helmet, though.
Well, there was that. And I'm really not happy that they've gone with yellow as one of their colors. It's supposed to be gold. We're looking at yellow, and that, oh boy, does that upset me.
What about 11 a.m. start time? Pretty good.
That was hideous as well.
How many people do you think were there?
A little bit bigger crowd than I thought they might get.
Ooh, so 35?
Still pretty disappointing for homecoming.
Did you adapt and drink mimosas as opposed to bourbon?
No, I didn't feel well enough to drink anything. You can't bring alcohol into the game anyway. What stuns me is that there are thousands of people who are in the area tailgating. They don't even bother to go into the game. Mostly the kids, the students. They just sit and party and tailgate and run around and have fun. They don't even go.
That happens at a lot of tailgates, though. The tailgating is, for some people, bigger than the game.
I don't know at how many SEC schools you got all students not bothering to go to the game when they're standing 100 feet away.
Yeah, well, are you kidding me? This was Idaho, though.
Mizzou would go 4-8 if they listened to you, you five-headed dork.
I would rather see 4-8 and a reasonable schedule.
Don't go turkey neck.
Did you really find that game fascinating against Idaho? Is that really, did it prove a point?
I liked the over in that contest.
Yeah.
And it covered at the half.
I looked at it, it was sort of a chess match. Did you get that sense? It was kind of a chess match between the coaching staffs.
Is there no spirit of competition involved? Is it, you really feel that good about yourself because you schedule a team that has no hope at all of playing with you?
They're going down to FCS next year.
Okay, yeah. I mean, did anybody really enjoy it? Anybody come away looking, all right, we beat Idaho. We beat a school a fraction of our size with virtually no chance to beat us at all. Anybody got a kick out of that?
A schedule should have no, it doesn't have logic. It just is all about money and what small market teams are willing to pay these SEC schools or what the SEC schools are willing to pay these small market teams to come and get killed.
I understand. I don't like the system. I think they would have a hell of a lot more people had that game been against Iowa. Or Illinois,
I don't like the way you're saying it.
I'm just throwing out a couple of names.
All right,
Doug. The announced attendance was 47,648 on Saturday.
That might be about accurate. I don't think they padded the numbers too much there. Decent crowd. A lot of empty seats though. That's still almost half the place is empty. Because it seats what 70 some odd thousand now.
Doug, the Dodgers and Astros play in the World Series. Here's Mike Francesa.
Okay, changing gears, so to speak. Oh, go ahead and hit the lever button.
I'm sure
you had that queued up ready to go. Predictions. Based on our Mizzou discussion, I'm sure you had your finger right there on the...
There was maybe a week left in a regular season, and I told you that the Yankees at that point were a 12-1 dog to win the World Series.
Yeah, they were.
And you basically, dismissed me.
What is that? They were a 12-1 dog. I told you they weren't a 12-1 dog?
No. I didn't say it. I said they were a good price.
Listen, Louis, let me just say something. Louis, everybody calls up and makes predictions. Nobody cares, okay, about your prediction. Nobody cares. Because you know what? When you make a prediction, it goes in one ear and out the other. Hundreds of people call. A million of them say the Yankees are going to win, they're going to lose, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. I get 50 people who said the Yankees are going to win. Nobody pays attention to your predictions. I'm sorry, they don't. They pay attention to mine because they hope they're wrong so they can give me a hard time. They don't care about your predictions.
Poor Louis.
I'm sorry. And they don't remember them either. So the fact is I get 50 phone calls that way. Oh, the Yankees are going to win. Oh, the Yankees are going to lose. Oh, the Yankees don't have a chance. Oh, the Yankees are going to win. Do you think anybody can record all of them? You're one of a million voices out there. Nobody cares about predictions.
God, I feel bad for Louis. I feel so bad for him. He just got shot down completely. Chopped right at the knees. He was so happy that he had said the Yankees were going to make a nice
Hey, Mike, you remember I called you last week? I says to you, Yankees are going to win this one?
They can't be real close. It's like they're getting them out of central casting.
So I says to you,
Louis wanted to pat on the back because he thought the Yankees were going to...
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. And of course, since McCann had a couple of hits and... since you blocked me on Twitter, you don't see it. It's still a raging debate whether or not he's a superstar.
I just don't think he's a superstar.
Well, he hasn't hit better than .244 in four seasons.
No.
So this year in the CS, he hit He hit .200, which raised his career postseason batting average. We're just saying he's not a superstar. No. He did slap on a couple of nice tags. I'll give him that.
I would think in any sport, baseball, there's only maybe 10 superstars. I mean, if you're really going to limit it to the absolute best of the best, probably 9 or 10 superstars.
Start with Carson Kelly.
I don't think he's there yet. I don't think the Cardinals have any superstars on their team right now. None.
Wow.
Am I missing somebody?
Last podcast Mo's doing with this show.
Am I missing somebody?
Doug,
had him in the past.
A 6-6 bowl game is important to fans team, and they get 15 extra practices.
Okay, yeah. Boy, that's... Who thinks the bowl games are important? Who?
The 314?
The 800 supporters who are going to go to Biloxi or Shreveport or wherever they're holding these bowl games now that Mizzou gets in. I mean, who really cares?
Well,
it's the least interesting game of the season.
You're going to lit up on Tiger Board today. You and the Plowhawk. Plowhawk's the enemy of the Tiger Board.
Well, I agree with Doug, and this is just bowl games in general. And you look at them, it looks so bad on TV where a fourth of the stadium is full and it's, you know, a 10-3 game with Memphis in the lead. It just, there's no sex appeal to those games.
We just heard Francesa count the 41 bowl games. That means 82 teams are in the bowls. There's only like 120 teams playing Division I football. Two-thirds of the teams are in the bowls.
Yeah, but if you're a player...
Last year, they couldn't even find enough teams, six-win teams to go.
If you're a player and you can extend your season, be it it's the Dr. Scholl's Bunion Pad Bowl, but then you get some nice sweatshirts and some gear, and you're happy.
I would think the players would love it. Sure,
Why do you hate players?
It's a vacation. It's a reward for scheduling teams that have no chance at all to beat you. If that's the spirit of sports, I guess I've just missed it.
Well, why don't you hold Bill Snyder accountable because he's the one that laid out this plan.
Yeah.
Here's Mike Francesa talking about the 49ers quarterback.
CJ Beathard is now, that's Bobby Beathard's grandson. If you remember Bobby Beathard, do you guys know as an example who Bobby Beathard is?
Yes.
Yes or no? No? Okay.
I don't know.
Bobby Beathard's an old famous general manager from the Washington Redskins. Blonde-haired guy, was a surfer. Buddy was George Young before your guys' time. But he was a big-time general manager. His grandson is now the quarterback of the Niners. CJ Beathard is now the quarterback. Hey. So it's kind of like, just a, you know, it's if you've been around the NFL a long time, you know the name and you know what he meant, you know what Bobby Beathard meant to the league and everything. So that's why it's just an interesting thing that his son is now running the team. But the Niners find a way to lose by 2 or 3 points every week, but they lose, so they'll probably lose to the Cowboys.
What did Bobby Beathard have to do with that?
We thought that clip was worth stopping our show and playing.
Just wait till you hear the next one, Doug.
Oh, Lord.
Do the Niners really lose by 2 or 3 points every week?
Yeah, they lose close games. They have lost in the past some really close ones. And how about the Rams at 5-2 and actually look pretty good? Horrible as that. Todd Gurley not interested in going to London anymore, though. I like that remark that he came up with.
What do you say?
He said, we need to stop doing this.
Yeah, I mean, that's rough when you're living in Los Angeles or San Francisco or, in the case of the Cardinals, Phoenix area. I mean, you're 5, 6 and a half to just get to the Atlantic Ocean, and then you're shooting across that. That's rough doings.
That's also selfish on the players' part, because we know firsthand in St. Louis, especially Los Angeles, that there's nothing going on there. Right. What you do is you play abroad, and then those fans all come and visit your city. We saw the huge influx
of Brits
here
tourism.
In St. Louis. That was crazy. I mean, it was absolutely crazy how many people from England came.
And all over the Great Britain region proper.
And many of them stayed. They came to visit, and then they stayed.
You played a game in London? Really? I'm moving to St. Louis.
And they actually trotted that out as a reason.
That was the best.
Mm-hmm. And they think we bought it all. They really think that we're such bumpkins that we believe anything they told us.
Tim. Yes. My dad was in his 40s when I was born. It was awesome having an older father. I had every toy I wanted and a privileged private school education.
What brought that up?
Well, Tim has just had a young...
But we weren't talking about it.
We were talking about Bobby Bethard, right?
Here's
right.
the thing. If you have a lemming, take it. Waits for nothing.
All right.
You got to get it out there.
Yeah. I'm just like you, Tim. My family was just like yours. It was wonderful. It was perfect.
When you're a lemming, it's like a burning love. You just got to get it out.
I guess. But what do they get from it?
Closer to Tim.
Right.
See, the lemming's hope is that one day they come to Kirkwood Brew House on a Friday night.
I did that with the White Collar Gangster and Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man and Townie.
And all of a sudden, Tim waves him over to his table.
Tim has to do the waving?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like the chairman of the board.
I figured some schlepper would say, Tim, we'll see you now, but only briefly. Can I see the Godfather?
You'll have to wait. I might just come one and just watch how cools do it. Because you sail in at one of these tables, you know, hey, Tyler, what do you want? He likes the cheeseburgers here. You have good cheeseburgers.
The candy bacon burger.
So he gets a cheeseburger, and then we eat it. You know, I get an order. Erin got, I forget what, she might have gotten the salmon. She says the salmon's good there.
How about the chicken spadini?
We know we're not cool enough. Like, one time I try to order the chicken spadini, they go, sorry, you're not allowed.
Right.
You're not a cool.
I see.
But then, you know what we do with it? We pay the bill and we go home. There's nothing cool about it. It's good. What do we do wrong?
I don't know.
Calipari, Izzo, and if Pacino was in here, we're talking Italian special. We're talking rigatoni, marinara.
I almost ordered the onion rings just so I could go and place one on the handle in the restaurant.
Are you finding any of that happening? Are there ever any onion rings?
You know, I don't believe I visited the restroom on Friday. Kind of a missed opportunity, I suppose. Yeah. But I remember White Collar Gangster saying he was going to go to the restroom to check and see if there are any onion rings.
Okay, great.
How are the rings?
They're going to ruin this restaurant.
You know, I don't know if I've ever had the onion rings.
Very good.
Thank you.
Of course they are, Iggy.
Well, I had them. Somebody asked. Cat asked, and I
thank
answered.
You, Iggy. What's your favorite dish here at the brew house?
Don't say dish.
Salmon.
Yeah, that salmon's a move.
Every once in a while, they have the burnt ends special, and I've had those.
That never sounded very appetizing.
Have you ever had the chance to break bread with Tim at your table?
Eat dinner with him?
Yeah.
No.
At this place?
No, he was here a couple weeks ago when we all came over after, I forgot why we came over.
The Ride Her Cup, and then we had the pony on the patio. Yeah, pony the on the patio.
And we hung out.
But you didn't get to sit at the same table as the Godfather.
No, remember, we did actually have...
That's a miss.
We had that giveaway where we all got to eat together
with a
listener. I think we
And it was a girl, Doug. Remember that? There was a girl.
Yeah.
Boy, that was odd.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure she regretted that the second she sat down. What in the world?
I felt bad. I wanted to give her some money back, to be honest with you. Yeah.
I think we delivered.
Why?
Hey, Tim, how's that O&O potty? Doug, that's from the recovering alcoholic from Belleville and we?
O&O potty. How's that O&O potty?
It's like a guessing game.
I give up. I don't know.
I don't know.
Hey, Tim, how's that O&O potty? I just don't know. I don't know what that question would be.
Hey, you know what that means?
I no clue.
Maybe one of the O's is Daryl Oates. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's recovered very much
John
from alcoholism
and Daryl
with that question.
Yeah, Daryl Hall, John Oates. So
Daryl
one is
Hall,
John
Oates.
I'm interviewing John Lodge.
And the other one,
morning.
I got it. The other one is Sadahara O.
Raised so his leg when he hit.
Yeah. Sadahara O and John Oates. There, now we know.
John Lodge from the Moody Blues.
Fair enough.
50-year anniversary of Days of Future Past, and they're up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
When's your big event, Iggy? When's the Meghan Meyer event?
November 25th. About and, 9 days after Gaga.
And you've worked very hard to get some stuff to put up for sale or raffle off.
Yeah. That's but commendable. It's all... I enjoy doing that.
So. Katy Perry was in town last night. Did you try to go to that one?
Oh, yeah. How about that?
I need some people to text me back, but...
Oh, you have no interest in Katy Perry?
Do you go to Katy Perry? She still has a short haircut?
I don't know.
She was
here a little earlier. She was at the Janet Jackson concert, I hear.
Really? Is that right? Yeah. Who told you that?
Somebody who was there said they saw her kind of trying to go incognito, but she was noticed.
Nobody wants to have sex with me now!
Well, what does that have to do with it?
That was Katy Perry. Was Janet Jackson on Saturday, Doug? At Chaffetz?
She was at Chaffetz, yeah.
And then Katy Perry was last night.
Yeah.
And they had some sort of midnight bike race in downtown. Didn't anyone?
Good luck with that.
Moonlight Ramble. It was actually postponed. It was last night or this weekend. It was, I think it was during the latest protest.
Yeah.
And they were afraid it was going to get shut down from the protest, so they canceled it until last night or Saturday night, whatever it was.
Guys, Katy Perry crashed a wedding Saturday night.
Did she? That's all the information we're going to get?
Yeah, that's from Doug's secret friend. I'd like to know more information about that. Call in, big man. Appliances
call
kind of phone
big
lines.
Big man.
855-282-8255.
That would be pretty cool, I suppose.
Would you go see Katy Perry in concert if someone gave you the ticket?
I probably would.
Yeah? Yeah. What songs do you like?
I Kissed a Girl.
I don't know a lot of the names.
I Kissed a Girl.
I know when I hear them, but I don't know the names of the songs.
I don't think we thought she was going to be a superstar when I Kissed a Girl came out, but now, over the last decade,
yeah,
has there been a more popular female vocalist in the last 10 years? Taylor Swift, Beyonce,
Gaga. You actually have to ask that question.
You know, Gaga, I guess, would be up there with the top five.
Oh, and congratulations.
Top five.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you, Iggy, on Lady Gaga taking a portrait with the past presidents.
Yeah, how about that?
That picture went viral.
Yeah, she's helping raise money for hurricane relief. And,
So it was President Carter, President George H.W. Bush, President Clinton, President George W. Bush, and President Obama, and Lady Gaga, Doug.
And Lady Gaga was standing behind him like, this is my show.
Probably was. She's
Doug,
probably the most popular.
Would you like to get that picture, maybe put that up in the living room?
Can you imagine getting that framed and having all of them sign it? Wow.
Yeah, that'd be a nice picture.
That'd be kind of cool.
I suppose in another 8 years, you think those guys will pose with Trump too?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah, well, I do wonder about that. I do wonder about these former president appearances.
Yeah, because they're all, you know, similar type people. But I don't, you know, Trump is so different from the rest of them. It's trashed so many of them publicly. I don't know that they would agree to do those type of things.
Maybe he'll just pose with that guy from The Apprentice, that sidekick of his, George.
I don't like mosquitoes.
Doug, the O&O potty is probably referring to Olive and Oak's bathroom. That's my guess. Thanks. That's from the 314.
How would we know that? That's a restaurant too, isn't it?
We went to Olive and Oak on Friday. Again, it was two times at Olive and Oak in 6 days. We're addicted now. It's okay. The best burger in the world. And I don't know what's going on. I just know it's the best burger I've ever had anywhere.
Is it?
It's insane. And the fries is good too.
And the restroom is special.
Now let me
somehow
ask you about this. You know, as I was weeing, I was thinking, I'd like to discuss this on the show after we play Francesa's story about Bobby Beathard's grandson quarterbacking that 49ers team people are buzzing about.
Okay.
The restroom situation is, the first time I went to Olive and Oak, I walked in and there's a toilet and then there's a urinal, but there's no divider.
Right. Could is that an awkward situation?
Is that a solo bathroom or is
so
that,
I thought, it's, okay, it's, I'm gonna stand at the urinal. Not going to pleasure myself. I'm going to stand at the urinal. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I should have.
No.
I'm going to stand at the urinal.
Didn't think of that.
And I'm not going to lock the door.
And that way someone else can make use of the facility. But then you're thinking...
Right, and so somebody walked in and goes, oh, I'm sorry.
But they might
anyway. No, bro, I left it open on purpose. So then this time when we were back, 6 days later, I decided to lock the door because of that incident. My question to you is, what is the move?
I think what you're supposed to do is bring Post-it notes, and you leave it open, but you put a Post-it note that says stepdads only.
Oh,
I think it's
problem solved.
I think it's terribly lazy bathroom construction.
Don't you go after Olive and Oak, bro?
Well, that's what it is.
That's the best burger you'll ever have.
I mean, either
for
it's
the
a one,
reels.
Either it's a one-person restroom or it isn't, and you have to build it such.
You know what I like about you?
What?
Is that you have no design background, engineering background, but you're going to take them to task. Earlier today, you were playing athletic director with scheduling.
Yeah.
I like that about you. You see something, even though you might have no background in it, you are ready to make the fix. And for that, I
think... yeah, that's Sports Talk Radio.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that's a no-brainer. No-brainer.
What is the play? You lock the door or you don't?
If there's no divider, it's you lock it.
Interesting.
They give you the option because you may have to sit down to go. You may want to stand up. But if there's no divider, you lock the door. You don't... You may be tinkling standing, and some dude's not going to come in and just sit down with no divider and start taking a dump.
You got to hope not. You got to hope not.
What if you're one of those bros who likes to sit while he wees? Do you lock the door then? Because then you're just a weeing.
Who does that?
What about this? What if it's neither? You don't use either one of the restroom facilities. You just stand by the sink reading a Harlequin romance novel. Is
no,
that wrong?
No, you still lock the door.
It's wrong. It's awkward, and it's wrong.
No, the door needs to be locked.
Doug, dividers reduce cross-stream potential. Thanks.
That's true. Yes, they do. You need a divider. If there's just a divider up there, then maybe it's a two-person restroom.
Doug, the move is to drop ass and leave the door open to welcome friends.
No, yeah,
I would definitely leave it unlocked, drop a number two, just for the reaction.
You couldn't
sake.
Do that.
Oh, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't care.
You should care. Have a little self-esteem.
Well, I wouldn't do it, but if I wouldn't care what the reactions were. I would find them to be funny, but...
You're really going to do that at a restaurant? If it's a small child, it's one thing. Anyone else has no excuse to ever do that at a restaurant. Ever.
Invite friends. I like that part of it.
Now, we have a situation at the radio station where there's one bathroom, and we have a lot of geezers that drink a lot of liquids in the morning, so there is a line sometimes.
Right.
So my suggestion, because there's wasted space... You put a wall up and you do two little bathrooms that have a bathroom bowl and a sink in each one side by side.
That would work.
Well, why don't you get the schematics together? I'll get the drywall and we'll get her done.
Okay.
All we need is a couple of those pipe fitter friends of yours.
Oh, pipe fitter Dave?
Yeah.
He could do it, I'm sure. Cucky is big in construction. He could do it.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's a single bathroom like this one, I'm guessing at Olive and Oak is for one person, you lock the door. And if it's not, if it's a major bathroom with like four or five urinals and four or five stalls, there needs to be doors. Because I know St. Charles Lanes, and I complained about this, and they finally put doors up there, is I've never gone to the bathroom in a public place unless I really have to. But you don't want to go into a bathroom and you see three guys sitting there taking a dump and there's no door.
Oh, no. Like the
There's
army
got
or
to be
something.
A door. God, you don't want to see that.
Didn't that happen in Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
That's what really turned off that pile guy.
Oh, Lord. I mean, could you even get through the military if that's the situation in the restroom?
And how about the guy that has to go so bad, but now he's sitting there and he's got people walking in looking at him? Hey, Jim.
Oh, come on.
We don't really need the sound effects.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, the noise is much worse than the look.
But the door, there needs to be a door there. You don't need to see some guy stooping there taking a dump.
Well, it shouldn't even come up at a restaurant.
And can you tell your buddy, Cucky, who I think is a great American.
Patriot.
He doesn't believe that I watched Ice Guardians last night.
You did. Hashtag it Pete, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I watched it. It was good.
I'll let him know. Cucky will probably just bust in your chops. He's always a good dude.
Cucky's having a nice run right now on the Hot Shots email today. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Hot Shots. Voted the number one sports bar in St. Louis by readers of the Riverfront Times. Visit one of their 11 St. Louis area locations today.
Now, what was that?
I belched in the middle, but totally unintentional.
What was that, a muffin belch?
What did I have? Oh, it was metabolic meals.
What'd you have? What?
It was like a kind of an... scrambled eggs and turkey sausage, I believe, Doug.
Sausage?
Yeah.
I had General Tso's chicken and scrambled eggs.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. How's that mix?
Great mix. It's a great
mix. How's that mix?
Go online at mymetabolicmeals.com. Tighten it up. Tighten it up real nice. Like Doug, wagering went 3-0 in our picks on Saturday. Eddie McVay C-blocked me on my Missouri overplay, and then emotionally I picked the Packers and Saints over because I knew that my parents were going to be at the game, and I knew my dad would bet the over because he has never bet an under. He is the official square of St. Louis, and so I wanted to see that work out for him, so I went emotional, not necessarily logical. I knew it was going to rain in Green Bay and lost that, and then I went 0-4 on my picks I believe yesterday. I had the Cardinals. Yep. I still have no idea why Joe had us picking the Ravens and Vikings, especially when the Packers and Saints were playing. I mean, what in the hell was that? What a weird thing.
Trying to get in our kitchen.
He probably didn't.
I think next to the Titans and Browns, it was the least attractive game on the entire NFL slate. Yep. Anytime the Ravens are involved, period. Then you combine it with the Vikings. Although Janie the lesbian sent me a picture from the game.
She was there, wasn't
and she? And she now has a hat, a Vikings hat, that on the side it says JTL plus VQ.
Nice.
Viking queen plus Janie the lesbian.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Well, she saw another Minnesota winner. Anyway, I went 0-4 yesterday, so that's a whole thing. So producer Joe sent me the standings, and we're both 500 through 8 weeks of picking.
Well, that's nothing to brag about, sir.
No, it's not. You'd be losing a lot of juice on that one.
Don't you say something to have the picks are probably great, but the players aren't performing? You have to back up Tim somehow on this?
Well, he had a bad day. He's won more money for people than he's lost money for people.
The world is a better place for having Tim in it.
If you're watching the games, it's time to start making money. MyBookie is the industry-leading website that hooks you up for all your betting needs. And with their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of expertise, you can bet with confidence. Your team doesn't even have to win. They just need to cover the spread. What are you waiting for? Lay down some cash and win big today. It's MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code RADIO to activate the offer. I urge you to make sure that you're wagering with MyBookie. If you finna wager, MyBookie.ag, use the promo code RADIO. It's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. A lot of people keeping an eye on the Eagles and Redskins tonight. What'll happen there?
Doug, break that game down for us. For those that are still looking to maybe place a wager.
It'll just be a really nice game. It's two teams that have prepared. You know, they've had an extra day to prepare. And this game is not any more important than any other. Otherwise, you're saying Sunday games aren't important. I think both teams will take that approach. And I think what you'll see is the team that turns the ball over the least will probably come out with a W.
How important is execution in this one?
Execution will be important in this one. Execution is pretty important in everyone, but sometimes execution is important, sometimes not quite so important, and sometimes it's not really important at all. When you're playing Idaho, you really don't have to execute very much. You're going to win the game anyway, which is why it doesn't make any sense to play them. But in this particular game that you're referencing, yes, one of the important things will be the execution.
Thank you, sir.
Doug, in a situation like the restroom when you guys were describing, you should take the fries to the restroom and set the fries on the tank lid so you both can share. And maybe you can say to the gentleman you're sharing the restroom with, got any dipping sauce? Thanks.
No.
That's from Doug's secret friend. Are these really like etiquette things?
There's no etiquette. I don't think they even bother to write the book of etiquette on that. They just figure you'll know it. You'll be able to handle it. Don't go in there at all unless you're a kid in an emergency situation. You have no reason to do that in a restaurant. Otherwise, take it home. How far are you away from home, really? Or a QT or somewhere.
But I just wanted a wee, bro. I just needed a wee. And I like to wash my hands, too, before I dine upon that delicious burger.
The delicious what? Bouillon? Did you just say bouillon?
That's a good burger. For real. I don't know what's going on. I'm telling you. People are texting and saying, is it better than Booch's? Is it better than Sportsman's Bar? I love them both. In-N-Out, Shake Shack, Steak and Shake, mm-hmm. Carl's, Sportsman's Park, Booch's. It's Olive and Oak, baby. I'm just telling you. And I don't know what's doing.
What about Village Bar?
It doesn't matter. It's Olive and Oak.
Village Bar has a great cheese.
And I'm again.
Well, you go there. You go there now. You go there now. You leave the show. You go there now. You say, "Give me a cheeseburger." I'm Tim McKernan. You know me. I heard these are pretty good.
And they have crinkle cuts. I know that.
The Village Bar is my favorite.
I still have never been there.
Well, why don't you and Tim go?
Why don't we go now?
And you know what?
The cat can feel the TJ Lowe interview.
It'll be comped.
Like nine in the morning. I'm not really looking for a cheeseburger right now.
Boy.
I'll have one later, maybe.
Well, you really think you're pretty special, don't you?
Well, you
really
eat a lot
think
of
you're better than other people.
Before 9 a.m., you eat a lot of cheeseburgers.
Attitude, Doug, I dumped at the Village Bar on Saturday. Great stall, bro.
You didn't.
Comes from Aunt Peg.
Thank you.
Margaret.
Thank you for the delicious fries.
They got a divider at that Village Bar, so you don't have to deal with that kind of nonsense.
I just can't imagine how desperate you'd have to be to do that at a restaurant. I can't imagine the emergency situation. You got to be jumping up from your chair and sprinting to get to the, just sprinting, knocking over old ladies, whatever, to get there.
And then you might leave the door unlocked and a gentleman could come in and wee next to you.
And say, got any dipping sauces?
Right. And that's why you leave it on the tank lid.
You're describing situations that have never happened in this country.
I disagree.
Hey, bro, you got any dipping sauces? It doesn't happen.
Not only did that happen.
For anywhere else.
Not only did that happen, but a guy had the dipping sauces.
He took
makes
them
it
with
even
him.
More, yeah.
Doug, you always leave the crapper door open. One can use the urinal and one can urinate between my legs I spray mud.
No. Who was that?
It goes to my shave, my balls. Hey, ref for this.
My shave just got himself suspended. He went too far. He went a bridge too far. He'll be suspended a period of 2 days' time. I don't expect it feels very good. Find people at Hot Shots. 11 locations are kind enough to supply the suspension logule. Right Business Products is the official ink pen of the morning after.
Guys, the move is to leave a trail of fries from your table to the bathroom to lure a cute stepdad to the toilet. Duh.
We stumbled on a topic that's right in the wheelhouse of our listeners. Enough football. Hockey, we don't want that talk.
You could have tunnels, right? Like a short story
chatter.
Of like to do, like the do's and don'ts of like bathroom eating etiquette.
I think most people understand. They don't need it written out.
No, this book would be if you are eating in the bathroom, not
eating in the bathroom. You're going to take your food from the table into the restroom.
We've been hearing these ideas being thrown out. These could be chapters and also maybe a pop up book to show you where to. Put the dipping sauces on the lid.
Now, I saw a picture on the fan page this weekend. It took me a while to figure out what the picture was because it was a picture of a guy at a urinal, and he had on a number 6 jersey with Weber on the back.
Shea Weber, Montreal Canadiens.
So I thought the picture was just, oh, what, you're making fun of a guy that's got his own jersey with his name on it. But then if you look down below the urinal by his feet, he has one of those things you get at a stadium that has the soda, the burger and the fries all in there. He put it on the floor underneath the urinal while he was taking a leak.
Oh.
Who would do that?
Somebody just posing for a picture, maybe?
I think, no, like somebody snuck a picture from behind him while he was, but there's his food underneath of his, between his feet underneath the urinal.
Right.
As moist as a freshly baked Betty Crocker cake?
That is something that I don't care if you have to go really bad. You have somebody hold your food. You don't put it underneath the urinal. There's a splash.
Well, why would
you're
going to
be eating urine-soaked food?
Why would you take it in there in any circumstance?
I don't get that.
There's flying fecal material in there.
There's a lot of things you don't do, but one of them is you don't bring your food into the bathroom and put it at your feet while you're whizzing in a urinal.
No. No, I wouldn't think that's just something you're going to do.
I think it was a real picture, too. A lot on their arm.
How would you know anymore?
Well, it's hard to Photoshop food underneath of a guy's feet. I could be wrong.
How about a word from Ryan Kelly? Would that change the subject just a little bit, please?
Yeah, we need a subject change.
Okay. Right? Did you know the average American household has more than $16,000 in credit card debt and over 70% of households have the equity in their home to get rid of it right now. So why wouldn't you want to do that? Well, you should. With a cash-out refinance with the Home Loan Expert team, you can get those credit cards paid off once and for all. Stop paying ridiculous interest on your credit card debts if you have a mortgage. Take some of that equity out, pay off the credit card debts, and now you got a refinanced mortgage with like 2 or 3% from Ryan Kelly. I've done that. I've refinanced with Ryan twice now, both times. The whole process goes just as smooth as can be. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to if you're looking to refinance or purchase a home. Why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-7.
What's wrong?
Call Ryan. Here's the number. 314-781-9700. Or you can visit him online at thehomeloanexpert.com.
There it is. Our title sponsor, Ryan Kelly. Send your emails in. Hotshots email today, the morning after at insidestl.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.